All right, excited to get you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 30 with me. Deuteronomy chapter 30, hopefully you got your handouts, so we'll fill in some blanks tonight as we continue down the pathways to blessing. Pathways to blessing, Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, we'll begin reading in just a couple of minutes from verse 15 and following. All right, it's Wednesday night, right? That's why we're here. Just in case you came last night, nobody was here. But Tuesday night, you know, it is Wednesday night. So here we are, and Wednesday night messages are... It's just us, right? So with it just being us, we can be just a little bit more relaxed, all right? We can talk back to each other a little bit. I want you to feel comfortable doing that. We can let our hair down a little bit, or in Brother Eugene's case, just shave it all off. That'd be all right. I said, man, you got your ears lowered. He goes, yep, did it myself. So it looks good. But anyway, he's got the summer glow going already for getting ready for that early summer, right? That's what we're praying for. Hot weather, not any more of that cold weather. But so since we're going to kind of be a little bit more comfortable, since we're going to kind of be able to let our hair down a little bit, I want to ask you a few questions. How many believe that the choices we make are directly related to the amount of blessing we receive? You believe that? Okay. So if we believe this, how would we rate the choices we are currently making in our lives right now? Would we rate those choices as being high on the godly end, low on the flesh end, or high on the flesh, low on the godly? It's kind of it's a balance, isn't it? We're probably a little bit of both, right? Hopefully, if we did it on a scale of 1 to 10, how many, you know, would rate our godly choices, you know, hopefully they'd be more than 5, right? For sure, more than mediocre, and our fleshly choices would hopefully be down lower. But as we noted on Sunday morning, we know that the Bible tells us the Spirit, what's going on inside of us is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. So because of that, the choices that we do make from time to time really do reflect how close we are to the Lord and how sometimes we certainly give in to fleshly desires. So we have to ask ourselves the question, are we making good choices in our lives, in our walk with the Lord? Are we making poor choices? And are we identifying those poor choices as poor choices and doing something about it? How many of you believe you make a lot of choices every single day? Okay, name some. Name some choices. Let's just start from the moment that you wake up at whatever time you get up in the morning, or if you sleep till the afternoon, that's fine too. Yeah, how many times you hit the snooze button? That's a good first choice of the day, right? All right. What? That's a good one. What are we choosing to watch on TV? That's excellent. Jenny, what'd you say?
To get out of bed.
Just what time? Yeah, to get out of bed. That's a choice, isn't it? Sometimes we just want to pull the covers up and just stay there, right? Okay, what other choices do we make? What clothes to wear? That's a good one. What you're going to eat? Yeah, what you're going to eat for breakfast? That's excellent. What is there to do? Whether you have to or want to or need to or some form of all of those, right? Does the dog need to go out now? Sometimes that doesn't need to be a choice. That needs to be. Yeah, that's pretty funny. That's great. That's good. Where are you going? Yeah, what are you going to do that day? Yep. Okay. I was wondering when we were going to get around to something spiritual and a choice. That's good. Let's just assume that we're going to have a daily devotion with the Lord, or a quiet time, whatever you want to call it, a time with the Lord. And so, you know, sometimes that choice is debatable. You know, we're going to do it in the morning or at night. Yeah, okay. So actually making a choice to tell somebody else or to talk to somebody else about the Lord. Good. Anything else come to mind? That choices you make. We've had breakfast. Now what are we going to do for lunch? You know, you see how many things are going on in our lives that we can just mention pretty quickly in review of just today, the choices that we make. Yeah, do we want to spend money? What do we need to spend money on? Yeah, absolutely. So, look, we have to decide this. Are our choices that we're making good choices, or are they poor choices? And is there a correlation going on with the Lord's blessing on our lives through the choices that we are making? Because we've all been in agreement, 100% unanimous agreement, to the fact that we all want to be blessed. Are we still there tonight? Everybody still want to be blessed? Okay? All right, we all still want to be blessed. So, now I want you to think with me on another scale for just a moment. We talked about personal. Now let's talk about our nation for a moment. Okay? There is no doubt that we are living in a blessed nation. You agree with that? Okay? Do you think that though our blessings as a nation could be teetering a little bit? It is okay. Good. The blessings, there's definitely some cracks in the foundation of our nation, for sure. I think we would all agree that we can see the blessings of our great nation somewhat on the decline, regardless of what the stock market may do from day to day, regardless of what. Whatever news media you want to read or hear or watch tells you, we can certainly see that the blessings of our nation are on decline. So, thinking about our nation, we have in the last few years seen some really devastating natural disasters. Does anybody kind of chuckle when you hear that term? Natural disaster. I mean, I always do because I know who is naturally in charge of that, right? So we have seen some pretty devastating things that have caused your and my insurance rates to go up. Does that help or hurt the American people? Well, it hurts, doesn't it? Right? Sure it does. Let's think about this for a second. How about the ravages of cancer in our society? You ever really think about that in regards to the blessings that we may not be receiving and that the Lord may have something? Remember, He's in control and charge of it all. Is He or is He not? Yeah. Okay, so just think about the ravages of cancer for a moment. It is such a prevalent disease in our nation. And let's then revert that back to the pocketbook for a second. Doesn't that also cause our health coverages to skyrocket? So ultimately. And we're just talking about kind of a, because we can all relate to a physical type of a blessing. How much money we have in the bank. That's just kind of what I'm trying to get you to think about, because we think about it in that way, whether we realize it or not, many times. Not all the time, but many times. We kind of think of how blessed we are with how well we are doing. And in just a couple of instances, we begin to see very quickly how well we're doing is sort of kind of on decline. And I'm just wondering if we can make a connection with the choices that we are making in regards to the blessings that we maybe aren't seeing to the full extent. Man, let's go to something else about our nation. What about the divide? Well, our nation is divided right now, right? I mean, it is terribly divided. Could we link the division in our nation to choices that we are making in our country? I think we can, don't you? I mean, listen, when we are okaying, when we are saying that it's okay to abort a baby, like really at any time, but for sure, right as or just before it's born, and we're saying that's okay as a nation. Now, you and I may not think it's okay, but let's just use the nation as a whole, all right, is saying, and one particular state says that that's okay. We got a problem. I mean, really. I mean, the commandment, thou shalt not kill, does certainly apply to babies as well. So if we're making these moral choices that are really anti-God, how can God continue to bless us as a nation? How can we expect God to bless us as a nation? So then revert that back to us for a moment. Now that you're thinking along the lines of, yeah, that's just wrong. That's just, well, what about the choices we make every day? What about the things we think are okay to come across our eyes and minds and get into our lives, and we feed on those things because we've made the choice to do it every day? Listen, when you come to Deuteronomy chapter 30, the nation of Israel has the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey in their sights. A couple of books back, Numbers, actually it's just one book back, Numbers is where they went into the promised land with the 12 spies, right? And you remember what the 12 spies brought back to the camp? You remember? They brought a grape cluster that they had to carry on sticks between them. Have you ever seen a grape cluster that large? I never have. I mean, just the thought that this land was great enough, fertile enough to produce a grapevine in that fashion would have made me go, I got to see this place. You know? I got to get in there. I got to. And so as they came back and brought the report back, what did they say? All 12 of them agreed on the fact that the land indeed is a great land. It is everything. It is as advertised. It surely is exactly what God said it was. The land flowing with milk and honey. And they now have the land in their sights after 40 years wandering and 40 years of funerals. That's what's been going on for 40 years. The final funeral, they don't even make it to that one because Moses just walks off up into the mountain all by himself and you never see him again. Moses, before he does that, is now giving them his final message. It's his desire for them to be blessed as a people. It is my desire as your pastor for you to be blessed. I want you to know the richest blessings of God on your life. So let's see if we can find some common ground. All right. We've used a couple of different illustrations in the introduction to get you thinking on two levels tonight. Personal and then corporate. Okay, personal, we certainly want to continue to see the blessings of God on our lives personally, right? I think we need to rally around each other in such a way that we also want to see each other blessed as a church. You want that? Yeah, we want our church, we want each other to know the blessings of God on their lives as well. So if then this is our thought, then we also can spread that out a little bit further. And we can begin to see from the words here in Deuteronomy how that we are going to be able to be blessed as a city, as a county, as a state, as a nation, because it's all right here in front of us in Deuteronomy chapter 30. But it's all based on a choice. Let's read it together. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. See. All right? Open your eyes. Look. Don't close your eyes. Look around. See. I have set before you, or thee, this day, life and good, and death and evil. Just think about that for a second. This is what's before you. Life and good, death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall, what? Bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Moses says, my counsel to you is what? Choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Wow. We're getting right to the end of Moses' message, which is the entire book of Deuteronomy, to the Israelites. It's his final message. Now, I don't know when my final message is going to be. It'll be one of these days. I realize that. I don't know that I will know, but Moses knew that this was it for him. And so he preached an entire message, and it took him 34 chapters to do it. Right? Yep, 34 chapters to do that message. So it was pretty intense. And now it's culminating into the conclusion. And we're getting very close to the conclusion as we read these words. So I can imagine the tenacity of Moses the preacher is escalating. I would imagine that Moses' gray beard and the hair that's been windy and weathered for years and years out in the desert has now, he is red in the face as he gets these final words out of his mouth before walking off into the mountain, never to be seen again. So as we read these verses together, we have to break them down like this. Verses 15 and 16 show us the pathway to blessing. Okay? Verses 15 and 16, pretty simple verses, the path to blessing. See, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil. I command you this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Now I want you to picture yourself just for a second, sitting down at the table for a meal that is about to be set before. Okay, let's put ourselves down the street here for a second. I've already forgot the name of the place. Miss Allen's. Thank you very much. I knew you'd know. And you sit down at the table, and what begins to happen? Lots of choices are being made, aren't they? Aren't they? All right. Listen, I don't know that I've ever had, that's the most unusual potato salad I've ever had in my whole life. Outstanding. I mean, it is unusual, but outstanding. And then the coleslaw comes by. Well, I got to have a little bit of that too. Well, then the corn comes by. Well, definitely got to have corn, right? And then all of this other stuff comes by. And then a fresh plate of fried chicken comes by. Well, listen, I knew that I was supposed to be a preacher when I didn't want to work anymore and I could eat fried chicken for every meal. That's the two things that came up, and I knew that God was calling me to preach. So when that fried chicken comes by, now we've got the real choice to make. I've already got a plate full of food because I've made my choices, right? And I think is there fried okra there? No fried okra? Okay, I would have denied that choice. Now don't stone me for that, okay? I keep trying to like okra, and I just never have been able to, okay? So forgive me for that. But that would be the only thing, just because I really don't like it, that I would have passed on. And I've already got a plate full of food, and then the chicken comes by. See, I'd pass on that too. But that's okay. So you got a lot of choices, and you have just sat down at the table. You just sat down at the table, and all of this is before you. You have the opportunity to eat things set before you or not. May I throw this thought out? If you've got a doctor's visit and a cholesterol test coming up, you may make some different choices. Or you might not care. But let's just say this. If you knew that the 6 or 7 pieces of fried chicken you're about to eat were going to cause you to have a heart attack the next day and die, would you eat them? If you get a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts and eat 6 of them before you get out of the store, And before you get out of the store, you have put on 100 pounds. Would you eat with the tenacity and voracity the Krispy Kreme donuts? By the way, that's like eating a little angel. Oh man, Krispy Kreme donuts are the bomb. I mean, you just want to eat all of them. Telling you. What do you do? What do you do? There's a lot of choices. The opportunity to eat or not. The very same thing is true for us in our lives and the choices we make. We have things set before us and choices before us, and we can partake in or not. Now, I want you to read, as we read 15 and 16, and I want you to see the path to blessing. The first thing in verse 16 is this. I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God. Okay, so the path to blessing loves the Lord first. And since we're on the subject of food, the one that loves the Lord realizes that we are His creation, fearfully and wonderfully made in the likeness of His image. And we also note in the New Testament that we are called the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so how are we treating our temple just based on the choices that we make? Because why? The choices that are set before us are too much to deal with. We just can't say no. But I believe this. The pathway to blessing begins with loving the Lord. Realizing, first of all, we love Him because why? He first loved us. And since He first loved us and showed us that love, the John 3:16 love we like to brag about, do we love Him back in that same way? We should. If we are setting our minds on the Lord, loving the Lord, the pathway to blessing is the path that first of all loves the Lord and then secondly walks in righteousness. To walk in His ways, to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments. You know, the only way that you can walk in righteousness is to know righteous ways. Where are we going to find righteous paths or righteous ways? We're going to find it in Scripture. Okay, so if we are not spending time in Scripture knowing what righteousness is, how are we ever going to follow or walk down righteous paths? It is imperative then that we make the choice daily to be in the Scriptures, to feed our souls, our minds, our hearts with God's righteousness. Now let's talk about this, because this is Old Testament. Some of you are like, this is Old Testament, man. We're living in the New Testament. We're under grace. We're not under the law and all that kind of stuff. But let me tell you that. We don't discard the law. Remember what Paul said? The law is good. It's good. You know why it's good? It's good because it tells us what God's expectations are. I don't know about you, but if I know what my expectations are, I'm a lot more capable of succeeding. Right? If a coach ever laid out really high expectations for us, I was determined enough that I wanted to please the coach, but I wanted to be the best I could be. And I was thinking that if that coach said that this is how you become the best you can be, I wanted to meet and exceed those expectations so that I could be the best athlete ever. It didn't happen, but that's what I wanted to be. Expectations are what's right here. The commandments, the statutes, the judgments, the way God thinks about things. Remember, we have a choice to do what we think is right or to follow what God says is right. You know, we were talking about the abortion issue just a little bit. Yeah, you have a choice to abort babies. Absolutely. But does that make it right? Does that make it holy? Does that make it godly? We have the right, we have the choice to take a gun out and shoot your neighbor. You have that choice, or your neighbor's dog, if that's the case. You know? But do you do that? That's not real neighborly, is it? That's not real loving thy neighbor as thyself, which is also what the Scripture says. Right? We have a choice. And so, what are we choosing? We need to choose, as the path to blessing continues, to love the Lord, to walk in righteousness, and also, then lastly here, to live peaceably. To live peaceably, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. The path to blessing loves the Lord, walks in righteousness, and lives peaceably. God is not the author of confusion. God is not the... He wants us to be able to live together peaceably. And, you know, listen, there are always going to be those people that rub us the wrong way. And here's the thing. I believe this. God puts them in our paths on purpose to see if we're going to take the path of blessing and to attempt to live peaceably with them. If it's a Christian brother or sister and there's that rub, you know, there's that rub that's there. You know what? Here's what I believe. I believe your mansion's going to be right next door to theirs. Because I just think there's a lot of irony there. Y'all didn't think that was funny. Y'all might think that I really think that, right? But anyway, I just think that there'd be some comedy there, right? If that is the case. But we are supposed to live peaceably with all men as it is within our capability or possibility. So, the path of blessing loves the Lord, walks in righteousness, and lives peaceably. Now, there is another path to take, all right? Hopefully, you choose the path towards blessing. Doing those things, loving the Lord, walking in righteousness, living peaceably. But what about the next path? That's a path to cursing. And that begins in verse 17. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day, that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. The path that leads to corruption, thus no blessing, the path to cursing, does this. First of all, it turns from the Lord. It knows the right way to go. We know the right thing to do. We know the right choice to make, but we turn from the Lord. We turn and go the other way. We say, it's okay. I think that I can do this on my own and it'll work out better. That's what we think when we make poor choices. We turn from the Lord. Then, when we turn from the Lord, we will continually be lured away from the Lord. Do you know, once you turn from the Lord, you will fall for just about anything the devil puts in your path. People, yeah, one of the things I learned a long time ago is never say never. You know, because when I first got called to ministry, I said, man, I'll never, never work with teenagers. I was a teenager once and I didn't like me. You know? And so I was like, I'll never do that. Guess where my first place of service was? Teaching junior high boys. Yeah. Guess what our first 6 years of ministry were? Youth ministry. Don't ever say never. And I think that's a pretty good thing with regards to our flesh too, because if we turn away from the Lord, we can be lured down paths to do just about anything, because in the flesh, we are capable of doing just about anything, aren't we? So, the path to cursing turns from the Lord's, lured away from the Lord, and this scares me to death when I even just read it. Verse 18, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish. The path to cursing actually finishes life separated from the Lord. Finishes life away or separated from the Lord. That's not where I want to be. And thank the Lord through Jesus Christ. I mean, we're not heading down that path. But you see the severity of the choices. So, let's sit down at the table again. And let's look at the buffet of choices set before us. Just like food, we know there are foods that are good for us and foods that, if eaten often, can lead us to misery. Can I share something really sad with you for just a moment? About 10 years ago, I found out that my stomach just cannot handle a cheeseburger and onion rings and a Dr. Pepper anymore. That's a sad day, isn't it? I mean, that's just a sad day. I just cannot do it anymore. So, if I get to that place that's got the best onion rings on the planet and cheeseburgers and Dr. Pepper or Coke, depending on the mood, I have a choice to make. Do I want this to be the last meal for a couple of days? Or do I want to live it up here for a few minutes, like in the old days when my stomach could take it? I got a choice to make. You know what? I have to confess that I've been doing a lot lately. This is going to be hard to admit. Please don't think any less of me. I've been eating a lot of salad. I know. I've been choosing from the other side of the menu, is what I call it. Yeah, I've been like the cheeseburgers and onion rings and chicken fried steak and all of those things are over here on this side of the menu. And then there's the healthy choices on the other side. I've been choosing from the other side of the menu an awful lot. And you know what? I don't feel nearly as bad. I don't have to, you know, go curl up in the fetal position for a couple of hours with a stomach ache anymore. It's pretty amazing. Because sometimes the choices we make, even at the table, lead us to misery. With these sorts of life choices before us, how important are the choices we make? With verses 19 and 20 in our sights one more time, boy, we read these words from Moses and just think, wow. I call heaven
and earth to record this day against you. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Moses says, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. What choice do you desire? I would think that the majority of us would choose life, blessing, right? How do we accomplish it? We accomplish it. Three things very quickly, and we're finished. Through dedication. And to be dedicated is to devote one's time and energy to a particular task. Through dedication, to devote one's time and energy to a particular task. To love the Lord with all our heart is to know His heart. And this only happens when we dedicate our heart, our eyes, our desires, our minds, our all to Him. How do we make good choices? With dedication, but also with determination. We must choose from the other side of the menu. Go to the things that will bring us blessing, not cursing. And then finally, it's about denying self. Matthew 16:24 tells us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. Most of us think that bearing our cross is misery. It is not to be pictured that way. Is it difficult? Is it hard? Is it something we're not able to do on our own? Yes. But is it going to be the way to blessing? Absolutely. Every time. So we have to deny self and know that in doing that, we will receive the richest blessings of our lives through following Jesus. So very simply, choice is yours. The choice is yours. What are you going to do? I hope, I pray, I desire as your pastor life, blessing, living in the Lord for you and for me. So if we really want to be blessed, if we really want to go down that pathway to blessing, let's pay close attention to the choices we're making every single day. You think that might make a difference? You think it'd make a difference in our nation? If it'd make a difference in our nation, will it make a difference in our church? Will it make a difference in my life, your life? Yes.